Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Morgan Cunningham on Face Connecticut. We're, of course, on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH, and also 96.5 TIC. And we're talking today about financial resources available for family caregivers to keep seniors at home. Of course, many families would prefer to keep elderly loved ones at home, but finance, that is a problem. People are concerned about finances and being able to keep that up for as long as possible. Now, some states actually pay family members to provide care for their elderly loved one. And joining us today to talk about this issue and this topic is Mario D'Aquila. He is the Chief Operating Officer at Assisted Living Services Incorporated, an award-winning home care agency here in Connecticut, to talk about some state and federal programs that allow people to earn while caregiving. Mario, welcome to the program. Good morning.
Morning. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, very happy to have you here. I mean, first of all, could you just start talking about a little bit about what Assisted Living Services Incorporated is, what it's all about? What do you do there?
Sure. We're a non-medical home care agency. We were founded in 1996, and really our goal here is to provide care for aging individuals in their home for as long as possible. The company really was founded by my parents, actually. They had an immediate need for our great-grandfather, and he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and all the different things that he was doing, such as wandering and being really forgetful, not taking his medications, just doing generally dangerous things throughout the home. Like he had trouble, walking up the stairs and just doing things that wouldn't allow him to live home safely. And in essence, we hired a few caregivers to help him age in place for the rest of his life.
I'm sure that you guys saw some benefits with that, of course, getting to have for yourself your loved one nearby, but also for their care. You get to oversee it yourself, right?
Yeah, the great part about non-medical home care, and some people refer to it as private duty home care, there's different names for it, is that, you get a caregiver or multiple caregivers that really become almost part of the family. They're there with mom or dad or grandma or grandpa, and you get to really tailor the experience for the senior to their preferences living at home, which is great. Especially when family is close, it's great. And it's even better for folks that live out of state too, that can't always be there for mom or dad. We can help them age in place safely.
And other family members get comfortable having other helpers nearby as well at the house too. Like you said, they become an extension of the family.
Certainly. I mean, it's always good to be able to give your mom or dad's caregiver a call to say, how is mom or dad today? You get that sense of security because you have that really tight-knit communication with our company and our caregivers and employees.
Now, across Connecticut, you've been able to help provide care to thousands of Connecticut seniors and peoples of all ages, really, who need assistance, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we have a few different service lines that we offer, at Assisted Living Services. And we help a host of different folks, right? Anywhere from people who need hourly shifts. Let's say they need someone to care for mom or dad just during the day, maybe between 9 and 5. All the way up to 24-hour live-in support where, hourly care isn't necessarily appropriate for somebody. They may need somebody there 24 hours a day that can live in with them to assure that they're aging in place comfortably and safely, all the way to we're actually a contracted provider with the Medicaid waiver program for adult family living foster care. which is if you live with your loved one or an aging individual, you can become a foster caregiver to provide their care in the home and receive a tax-free stipend for that. And I can absolutely go into that if you'd like as well.
Oh, absolutely. Let's start off, though, with what are some possible warning signs in a loved one that may make you say to yourself, hey, maybe we do need some extra help here, or maybe we need to focus our efforts at home differently to care for our loved one. How about starting there? You know, what are the warning signs that we come across?
Sure. And these things that I'm going to list here do sneak up sometimes. They don't just happen overnight, generally. They do sneak up. And, you know, I would advocate that, you know, if you see any of these warning signs, you know, you start researching as soon as possible, right? The last thing you want to do is scramble in an emergency to find sort of the next steps for mom or dad or your loved one, you know? So, but I can certainly start with that. I think forgetfulness and confusion is something that you need to keep an eye out for. If it's not just, you know, hey, where did I put my keys today, right? It's things like forgetting names, forgetting where you live, forgetting, you know, where you put, you know, food. If you start putting it in the cupboard instead of the refrigerator, that's something that's a warning sign. That's forgetfulness, confusion that you should keep an eye out for. Neglect of physical appearance and basic hygiene. If you start to notice that your loved one isn't bathing, isn't caring for themselves, not brushing teeth or hair, that is a warning sign. Neglecting medical needs. You know, you ask your loved one, when was the last time you saw a doctor? And, you know, I don't know, right? If you get that answer, that's something that's definitely a warning sign. Trouble performing routine tasks or chores. You know, just something as easy as making breakfast. If they're having trouble doing that every day, or a routine task or chore like, you know, cleaning the home, that's something to keep an eye out for. Personality changes are big. If one day, you know, you start to notice that your loved one is a little more reserved than normal, if they're usually very talkative, that's an indication, potential indication of dementia. Inability to handle finances and pay bills, that's a big one. And then really unsteadiness and clumsiness or a recent history of falling can be something that you really want to keep an eye out for, because as we know, falls are one of the you know, leading causes of hospitalizations in seniors and the elderly. So that's something that we want to reduce as much as possible. And if you're noticing that can happen, or the person is prone to having that happen, you definitely want to research your options.
Like you said, a lot of these issues do creep up. They sneak up on people. And I can speak from my own personal experience here, having an elderly relative who has since passed away. But unfortunately, we saw that decline happen over time. I was a child. But you get hit with that moment of realization, uh-oh, something is wrong here. You know, how do you come to grips with that yourself when you see an elderly relative going through these challenges? You want to help them, but you have to realize it and understand it yourself first.
Definitely. I mean, and it's something that, you know, it is sad. You know, it is a part of aging is a part of life. I think it's difficult for, you know, for many to accept that. I mean, it is. And generally people will need some sort of help later on in life, right? And I think that, you know, coming to terms with that is very important. I think that knowing where to go is very important, right? When that moment does happen, just educating yourself on finances for later in life, educating yourself on really options and the differences between the types of care that can be received. There are various differences, such as there's a difference between non-medical home care and skilled home care. Many people don't know that. So it's important to know the differences. It's important to know the differences of the different types of facilitative type care. I mean, there's an independent living communities. There are assisted living communities. There's long-term care communities. And it's, you know, if I would impress upon the listeners anything, it's learn some of these things sooner before, you know, before something happens. It's nice to have a plan for your loved one, or even educate them about it, right? Hey, mom or dad, what do you want to do later in life? Do you want to stay home? Is aging in place important, or is aging in a community with other seniors important for you for socialization, right? These are some things that in early discussion, I think is just very important.
Face Connecticut, our guest this morning is Mario DeQuilla. I'm Morgan Cunningham. Mario is the Chief Operating Officer at Assisted Living Services Incorporated. Mario, you brought up some of the differences between levels of care, right? Could you talk about some of those, skilled versus more independent?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, the differences of the continuum of care, we like to call it, right? It's not just, hey, I just need skilled home care, I just need non-medical care. You may need a host of different things, right? Skilled home care includes, nursing visits, actually having an RN come and visit to do wound care, vitals, and things like that, to physical therapy visits, right, where a physical therapist would come to the home and kind of get you back up and on your feet, to occupational therapy, and a host of other different types of therapies where these folks would, assist in getting you prepped to live in your home, maybe after an incident happened, right? All the way to non-medical home care, where a caregiver can come to the home and provide really all of the things that you need in terms of activities of daily living, things like dressing, cooking, cleaning, medication reminders, transfers throughout the home, bathing, other personal hygiene, things that you need to age in place healthy. And really, we find that that's paramount, and it really dovetails nicely. It's not like, you might need one over the other. Generally, aging individuals would have both, right? You'd have a nursing visit or a PT visit in the morning, and maybe the non-medical home care caregiver would be there throughout the day to assist you throughout your day.
I think we're at the point now where maybe the family is starting to decide whether in-home care is needed or not. So when you come to that conclusion, what else may need to be considered?
Finances are number one, right? I would say finances. Can you age in place with your financial situation? And I think that it's important to note that there are different programs offered through, and I'm speaking strictly of through Connecticut, through Medicaid waiver programs administered through Department of Social Services, such as the Connecticut Home Care Program for Elders. And these programs are designed to help people age in the community over institutional care. So if the senior doesn't have the funding to pay privately for home care, these programs are what I would recommend those folks looking into, right, to really see if they qualify, number one, and number two, to see if it's something that's needed.
Tell me more about maybe some programs that the state of Connecticut offers that can help families out with this process, perhaps in figuring out what kind of care may be best for an individual, but certainly when it comes to the finances.
Certainly. So first and foremost, the Connecticut Home Care Program for Elders is administered through Department of Social Services. The applicant must be 65 years of age or older to be eligible. They must be a Connecticut resident, and they also must be at risk of nursing home placement, and they must meet the program's financial eligibility criteria, right? So there are certain asset and income limits in order to be eligible for this program. And really, to be at risk of nursing home placement, that means that the applicant needs assistance with critical needs, right? It's things like bathing, dressing, eating, taking medications, toileting. Those things must be key to keeping that person aging in place safely. If they can't do it on their own, then they would most likely qualify for the Connecticut Home Care Program for elders. And, you know, there are different service lines within that program that might be more or less appropriate for the individual. There's, you know, like I recommended before, there are hourly home care services offered. There are live-in services offered. And then there's the Adult Family Living Foster Care Program, which is, I think it's a very innovative program because it's suitable for those folks that maybe live in with their loved one. Maybe they, you know, aren't working right now, and, you know, the reason why they're not working is because they're caring full-time for mom or dad. Well, they could be paid for doing that through the Adult Family Living Foster Care Program.
How does pay for that work? Do you know?
Yeah, so, you know, essentially the senior has to qualify for the Connecticut Home Care Program with all the eligibility criteria that I went over. So if they do qualify and if they do have a caregiver living in the home with them, and it doesn't just have to be a loved one, it could be a friend or, you know, but it just can't be a legally liable relative like a spouse, they could be paid a tax-free stipend for providing that care. And essentially what they have to do is ensure that that person can age in place safely and that their health needs are being met every day. And how that's done is a provider such as ourselves, through assisted living services, is we send out a nurse that would monitor the environment and coach the family caregiver to ensure that the health and safety needs of the loved one are being met, right? And when they do so every day, the provider, you know, us, would pay that tax-free stipend to the individual for ensuring that that person is aging in place safely.
Are there other states that offer a similar kind of program, or is Connecticut kind of in its own little island here?
You know what? There actually are. I mean, not every state offers the same program, but I can certainly tell you that similar programs are offered in the following states: Indiana, Louisiana, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island, and even New York and Georgia offer similar programs to this. Like I said, it's just innovative that the states are looking into sort of these you know, different routes of providing care, as you know, as we call it, the silver tsunami, right? Where when all the baby boomers are coming of age, we're going to need more innovative programs to ensure that these folks can age in place safely. And I think that these foster care programs are key to ensuring that that happens.
Well, that's actually interesting you mentioned that, because that was one of my questions I was thinking about. What's the future look like for in-home care? Is there going to be more of it, less of it? What's it going to look like? Maybe other programs may be in the works that will be helpful down the line. Any insight on that?
I think that in-home care is going to, you know, be expanded. I think that what's happening is, and you may notice this, that there are many non-medical and medical home care agencies throughout the state and in the country opening up. There's a lot of different facilities that are actually opening up, different assisted living facilities and independent care facilities. They must know something's coming, right? They don't just open up for nothing, right? So I think that what's going to happen is, In the home care space in the future, home care providers are going to need to, since there is going to be at some point a lack of, you know, the supply and demand curve is going to kind of reach an inflection point where there's just not going to be enough caretakers for all the you know, seniors who do want to age in place. So I think technology is going to have to be really embraced in the home, to ensure that some of the care needs are met through technology. I think that programs such as the Adult Family Living Foster Care Program are going to need to be more widely accepted and used throughout the country. I think Connecticut is doing excellent with it, but I think that other states really need to get on that bandwagon as well to ensure that there's enough caretakers. And really, lastly, I think that folks are going to, be more apt to planning for the future. I think they're going to start to think now, right? Hey, I'm, in my 60s or 70s, what am I going to need in the next 10, 20, 30 years to make sure that I'm aging in place? So I think elder law and estate planning attorneys are really going to do well as, in the next few years to assist these folks in getting their assets and wills and trusts all set up. And that's one of the highlights, actually, that I want to make sure that people understand is that if you don't have, an estate plan in place and you're aging, that I would start there. That's absolutely where I would start, just to ensure that you all your wishes are met when you age, right? And when you want to either stay at home, where you want your money to go, eventually.
We're down to maybe the last 2 minutes here on Face Connecticut. Our guest, Mario D'Aquila, he's with Assisted Living Services Incorporated, serving Connecticut here. And we're talking about the elderly and aging and staying at home and getting in-home care. Any final thoughts that you'd like to share? I know one last question I may have had was about federal programs that are available to care for the elderly, since we've been talking so much about the state of Connecticut and the state level.
Yeah, certainly. There are some federal programs. And I think often overlooked is a benefit for military veterans. I think that people think that, oh, geez, I'm not sure where to go. Maybe I have to pay privately for home care. And they overlook this particular program. It's called the Veterans Aid and Attendance Program. And it can be used to pay for care at home or an assisted living or even some of the other auxiliary home care and facility type living costs for a veteran or their spouse.
All right. I really do appreciate your time this morning on Face Connecticut. Anything else you'd like to add, Mario?
I think that just one last thing, I'd like to add. I just want to, let the folks know. I think it's important to, if I didn't say it already, get your estate planning, in place as you age. Get your estate planning in place. Do your research for home care and senior care. There's a ton of great information online. Our website has a host of different resources that you could use. And just plan early, and you won't be sorry.
Mario, it's been great having you this morning on Face Connecticut. And where can people find out a little bit more information on state programs, perhaps on Assisted Living Services Incorporated, your company? Where can just people learn a little bit more?
Definitely. Our website is excellent for resources. And I would go on this, if you have the time, our website is www.assistedlivingct.com. Or you can call us at 203-634-8668.
All right. It's been great talking with you. We'll have to get another update down the line. Thank you so much, Mario.
Hey, thank you very much for having me today.
Absolutely. You have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.